Righty. Here we go. Action-packed show today. Got the new lights in, so I think I can be seen a little bit better in all the camera angles, so that's good. All right, so we're just going to wait and get some people in this video. Super excited to make this video because it's one I wanted to make previously, and I attempted, and then I had all sorts of technical issues, so I figure what better time than now, and what better place than here in my audience of viewers. So I am going to tackle the question, do dispatchers require a freight broker bond? That is going to be the talking point to today. The call-in lines will be active. You guys will be able to call in, and I have the answer. Straight from the horse's mouth, I have proof, and I am going to tell you the answer after my intro, which is coming up right now. Freight broker. I'm going to turn the music down. Actually, I'm just going to turn it off. Let's just get this show started today. Yes, that is me. I sing my intro because I'm brilliant. And who else does that? Nobody. Yo. So Ralph on YouTube said he's new to the channel. Well, welcome. Congratulations. Bew on YouTube said audience of three. Sweet. There'll be more. There usually is. I'm not as big as Toe Piglet or any of those guys that do the live videos. I just do my own thing. Anyway, so my name is Steve. I host this show. It's called Freight Broker Live. It is a talk show slash news site where I just cover news-oriented themes and topics that nobody else seems to talk about or write about. I've broken some big stories in, I don't know, the 4 months that I've been doing this. I broke the Omnitrax crash. I broke that story. I broke the C.H. Robinson story the other day, which is pretty much everywhere now. It took a long time for it to get out, but I pretty much want to just report on things that are relevant and things that are current and things that people aren't reporting about. And then when people ask me to talk about a certain topic, I research it and then write about it. And this is one of those topics. People ask me to dive into dispatch services. I'll give all the disclaimers and stuff here in a minute. But right before I start that, let me tell you about my show sponsor for the month. That is Insurance Unlimited. They are the number one referred total logistics insurance company here in the United States. They specialize in commercial auto liability, cargo, umbrellas, general liability, brokers, contingent liability, media, professional, garage keepers, and so much more. They literally insure everything. I'm not even going to read the rest of the damn thing. But they're just a great insurance company. You can go over to freightbrokerlive.com and you'll see the link right at the very top of the page, and you can go and she'll run quotes and she'll run all that stuff. And yeah, so that's about it. Laz said, by the way, I can't sing worth a damn. I know, that's why I do it, because it's funny. I used to actually be able to sing as a kid, but my children like actually watching the intros. So that's kind of why I did it, because now they stick and they like them. But if you want to hear me try to sing, I've got a song that's themed as the best freight podcast ever that'll be coming up after this show. It's just a jab at other people, but it's funny. Anyway, oh, your name is pronounced Bo. I am sorry about that. So let me throw up the call. You guys can call in. That is an active line, 914-803-4008. I'm going to just talk a little bit about dispatchers. I'm going to talk a little bit. I don't have any news. There's been real no freight news, which is good because the only thing I've reported on recently are bad news. So I'm just going to jump into the talking point. We'll see where it leads for the day, and then we'll go from there in terms of show. Insurance Unlimited. Joe, to answer your question, they service, I think, 35 states. So your best bet is to call Insurance Unlimited. Tell them Freight Broker Live sent you. They'll put you through to Brittany Smith, who is, in my opinion, one of the best insurance agents I've ever dealt with, both as a customer and just someone I refer because they're just awesome. Even before they were an advertiser, They're just a great company. They're very honest like me, so they do a good job. But yeah, just make sure you mention Freight Broker Live so you get over to her. Anyway, so everybody knows. Everybody knows what a dispatch service is, but just in case you don't, let me clarify what a dispatch service, what the current dispatch services are that you see out a lot. So they are essentially load finders. They find freight for independent carriers that don't necessarily have the time or the resources or the experience to find freight themselves. Now, I'm not going to go into why that's so flawed as it is, because everyone should know how to use a load board if they have their own authority. That's my opinion. But a dispatch service, they hug a fine line, because the majority of the dispatch services that are out there do not have a brokerage authority. So what they do is they go onto these load boards. Keep in mind that unless they pay a tremendous amount of money to both DAT and Truckstop to utilize the load boards, they're setting up the load board access under the carriers that they're representing, which is just another thing that's weird to me. Anyway, so what a dispatcher does is they find the freight. Some dispatchers charge a percentage of a load. So if you book a load for $1,000 and the dispatcher charges 4%, then you pay the dispatcher $40, usually after time of pickup or after delivery or at the end of the week, whatever the thing is. If someone wants to type in insunlimited.com in the chat, insunlimited.com. Anyway, but yeah, that's the deal on it's actually, Bo, it's in the description on the YouTube video as well. Anyway, so the thing about the dispatch services is there's a lot of responsibility that's not taken. And what I mean by that is there's nothing stopping a dispatcher from putting you on a load, not properly credit checking customers or brokers, rather, for that matter. They don't have the best interest in heart of the carriers they work with, no matter how much they want to. They just can't, because they're working for other carriers. Here's a good example. I asked a dispatcher this one time, and full disclosure, I used to own probably one of the larger dispatch companies in the United States. I also had a broker bond, but it's a little bit different. But I didn't when I first started. I only got it once I found out I needed it and went out and got it. So I know my way around dispatching. I understand what it is. I understand how it works. I used to own trucks. For anyone who's never watched this before, I used to be a fleet owner. I used to be a driver myself. I've been brokering now for 15 years. I've been around the block for quite a while. Aaron Moneypenny, what's up, buddy? I saw your show yesterday, or I saw you talking about hot shots and stuff. I agree with you. Anyway. So we're going to talk about dispatchers. Dispatchers are, so here's a fact. Dispatchers need to be licensed and bonded. And I say that for a couple of reasons. First, I'm just going to get into facts. Now, there's this article that's been posted online on social media 5 million times. It's written by a guy that I hold very little respect for just personally, but it's an actually really good article. It's titled "Dispatch Services Legit, Misguided, or Fraudulent." I'm not going to read the whole thing because it would bore you. It's written by a guy that's in charge of some big, you know, coalition of BS and tax issues. And I don't know, that same guy that was fined by the FTC, but he says he wasn't fined by the FTC and all that stuff. Anyway, so he wrote an article, though, that's pretty good. It breaks down the definition of a bona fide agent. So let me read a couple of things. So according to 49 CFR 371.2, which is under definitions, it gives a definition of a broker. Now, a broker is a person who, for compensation, arranges or offers to arrange it for the transportation of property by an authorized motor carrier, motor carriers, or persons who are employed or bona fide agents of carriers are not brokers within the meaning of this section, because when they arrange or offer to arrange the transportation of shipments which they are authorized to transport, in which they have accepted and legally bound themselves to transport. So this section here and the words bona fide are where a lot of these dispatch services jump on here. And they say, well, we're bona fide agents. Every single client that we dispatch for, he signs a power of attorney and he says, we're allowed to dispatch him and we have his best interests and we are bona fide agents. How many guys out here, we've got 50 plus viewers across all platforms, How many of you guys right now have heard that before? I know everyone has. Because I've heard it a million times. Hell, I used to say it before I found out otherwise by the FMCSA. Anyway, so the problem with that is, and I always use a simple example now that I explain it. Let's say you have two trucks. Each truck you have a power of attorney for. You're supposed to be working in the best interests of the trucks. Now, say you have two 53-foot dry vans. Both can scale 44,000 pounds. Both drivers have fresh logs, and they're both empty at the same time in Atlanta, Georgia. Who gets the first load? That decision right there makes you a broker, because you can no longer be looking out for the interest of the second carrier if you're giving the first carrier load first. So by that definition, because you are benefiting, and I'll get to it because I have some proof of this. But so by that definition to me, and when I started thinking about it from that perspective, okay, why would I pay a dispatcher that's dispatching other people, especially Texas guys? If you're all in Texas all at once, and you know there's a million damn hotshots all over the place now, there wasn't 5 years ago when I started my hotshot side and running hotshots, but now they're every single place that you ever see. Anyway, you know in Texas they're sitting around doing nothing all day long. And they have dispatchers. I had one guy, that Jeffrey guy that made this whole thing about rate transparency and blah, 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 the whole video from a couple of weeks ago. He's a hotshot guy, and he had a dispatcher. And he didn't know how to properly use the load boards because he ended up sitting for, what was it, a week without a load because his dispatcher just bailed on him. Why did the dispatcher just bail, and why can Jeffrey not hold that dispatcher accountable? One, dispatcher is probably some work from home, stay at home person that has no real job, isn't claiming the taxes. There are dispatch services out there that are legit, and I'll explain those in a little bit. But most of the dispatchers are people that just work from home. They're sitting there. You hear kids crying in the background. Dogs are barking like they do in my house all the time. Half the time you say, hey, I'm going to be empty in 2 hours. And they're like, well, I got a school meeting with my kids. I'm not going to be here. Or I got to go get my nails done, or pay me the money because I got to go buy groceries. Whatever the instance is, you know, there's a lot of negativity around that. And for real reasons, hair salon. Yeah, I know. That's the other one. And I specifically shared in that group. So hopefully she sees this, because there was one lady that advertises. You may have seen her post about, I don't remember what her name is, nor would I say it because I'm not going to try to get sued, even though I'm right. But she was posting that she was misleading and saying, hey, I need 10 power only carriers. I'm working on a project. When Laz and myself jumped on her and said, hey, listen, well, that makes you a freight broker. And she's like, no, it doesn't. I'm working for carriers or for brokers. Send me these big deals. And she's also advertising. I mean, she's just a scam artist, in my opinion, whatever. All right. So let's just go back. See, I went on a tear there for a minute. So a broker is a person who, for compensation, arranges for or offers to arrange for the transportation of property by a motor carrier. Think about what a dispatcher does. A dispatcher meets that definition. I mean, a dispatcher is arranging to transport freight for the broker by the carrier. You know, it's clearly they meet that definition. They're exempt, according to them, because they become bona fide agents of carriers. Now, here is the other definition under the same definitions code within UF 49 CFR 371, blah, 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 point two. So a bona fide agent is a person who are part of normal organizations of a motor carrier and perform duties under the carrier's directions pursuant to a pre-existing agreement, which provides a continuing relationship precluding the exercise of discretion on the part of the agent in allocating traffic between the carrier and others. That basically says they have to be working in the best interest of the carrier, of each individual carrier. So you can't do that. There's a conflict. I mean, clearly there's a conflict there. So I went a step further because I have experience with it, because when I had my big dispatch company, I didn't have a surety bond. I wasn't set up as a broker in the beginning. And Jack, I'm going to get to that here in a second. But I wasn't, I wasn't sure. I kind of had a feeling I needed to get it. I heard it too much. I read, you know, this dispatch service is legit, misguided, and fraudulent. You could just search that and you'll find it. I don't even want to say that Joker's name on here, because even though the article's decent, it's a name that's attached to it that makes me not want to rep it that much. Anyway, what the hell was I saying? I lost my focus because I'm trying to like be mellow and censor myself all the time. Anyway, so here's the thing. I'm just going to skip to it. Check this out. Here's a chat from today. All right. And I'm going to read this and I'll just make it a little entertaining once I open up the screen here so I can actually see what it says. So, you know, this is a chat with the FMCSA from earlier today. You could see it up above. It says ask.fmcsa.gov. This is an actual chat by a government employee looking for clarification. So I said, because when you start the chat, they ask you to ask your question. I wanted to get it on this window. So after waiting 45 minutes for someone to become available to answer the chat, I rewrote my question. So I said, I am specifically wondering about someone who finds loads for multiple carriers with different MC numbers would be required to have a brokerage authority. They are being paid by the carrier, typically a percentage of the loads. This lady named Michelle said,
thank you. May I have the phone number for records?
And so I gave her my phone number there, and I'm not going to do that voice anymore because that's annoying to me too. Anyway, hold on. I got to move this out of the way. It's all screwed up on my screen. Sorry. All right. So I gave her the phone number, which is there. If anyone wants to call my cell phone, there you go. And her definition right here, she said,
a broker is a person or firm who arranges transactions between a buyer and a seller.
That doesn't even sound like a woman's voice. Anyway, a broker is a person or firm who arranges transportation between a broker and a seller for a commission when the deal is executed. If you do not hold any responsibility over cargo, you are considered a broker. And I said, okay, they're still leaving too much there on the table. So I asked for further clarification. And I said, so based on what I wrote above, again, about the definition of a dispatcher, you would agree a dispatcher requires a bond. She said, if the dispatcher is receiving compensation for the arrangement of the load, then yes, you are correct. So you guys all see what that means. That all means, according to the FMCSA, every single dispatch service out there is required to have a bond. Otherwise, they're not legit. And she makes a good point, and so does Jack Allen or AdKids on Facebook, because he said, what happens when there's theft? Who's accountable then? Nothing, because the dispatcher, just like the power-only dispatcher that we were talking about in the chat a few minutes ago, they don't even have companies set up most of the time. They don't have DBAs. They don't have bank accounts. You got to pay them via PayPal or you got to do something else. They don't, there's no recourse. They don't have any errors and omissions insurance. Why wouldn't they have errors and omissions insurance? Because I guarantee if Brittany called in right now, Brittany, go ahead and call in if you're watching this. They're not going to write an errors and omissions policy for someone who is doing something illegal, because based on the definition from the government, what they're doing is illegal. So, you see, there's no recourse at all. And people find this out all the time. It happened in yesterday's conversation with the video that I was watching, where you had a dispatcher yell or basically making excuses for why she was messing with she didn't credit check a customer. So this is what happens when you book a load. For anybody who doesn't know, let me just go through it. As a carrier, when you book a load, you call the broker, you do a little bit of back and forth, and you say, hey, listen, I want this load. And they say, well, I can only pay this. And then you say, you're a cheap bastard. Damn, there. Now I got to mark it explicit. Anyway, and they're like, you're cheap. And then you go back and forth and you negotiate an extra $25 and you feel like you beat that broker down, whatever. You've never worked with that broker at that point. So they send you a 15-page document, maybe 20, maybe 30, depending on who it is. Some of them are like two. Anyway, it's called a carrier packet. When you're on the road, you're driving a truck. This is why dispatch services are helpful. When you're on the road driving a truck, they handle that whole negotiation. So you don't even see it. They could just be someone that's sitting there going, hey, yeah, how much for that load? $1,100. All right, we'll take it. They may not even negotiate because you don't know. You're not part of that conversation. You don't hear what they're saying. But let's just say they negotiate and they get you an extra $25 and they sit there and they're like, oh, my driver's making so much money. Anyway, they send out the carrier packet to the dispatcher or you, if you don't have a dispatcher. And then if you're driving, you have to pull over, you have to fill out the whole packet, you have to upload your documents to it and send it in. Then you got to call your insurance agent, have them send a certificate of insurance in. Oh, and you also got to check credit. Usually you should be checking credit before you even call the broker. But that's the like life cycle of a load from, you know, the booking section of it. So what a dispatcher does and how a dispatcher is helpful to a carrier, especially an independent carrier, is you no longer have to deal with the paperwork. But you also have quite a bit of risk, because if the dispatcher isn't paying attention and doesn't know what they're doing, then guess what happens? They sign the paperwork. They sign a rate con. They don't pay attention. They don't mark that you should be getting paid $75 an hour for detention. Instead, they say, oh, yeah, it's okay. Big three-letter broker is going to pay me $25 an hour in detention, because they don't care. They're still getting their commission, which is off of the total value of the load. So if you're getting $1,100 on the load and they're getting 10% off of it, they're going to make $110, whether or not you are happy with them. This, the guy that was in my show a couple of weeks ago that wanted to do all that rate transparency garbage that he didn't even know what he was talking about, he was paying his dispatcher regardless of whether a load canceled or not, which is something I've never heard of, meaning that he had truck issues, so he had to cancel the load, but yet he still had to pay the dispatcher the 10% or whatever he was paying. I've heard a dispatch service is paying low, like what ours did. We were either 3 or 4%. And then there's I've heard dispatchers paying 20 or getting paid 20% of loads. 20%, because they're just taking advantage of everybody. But see, here's the thing. Based on this definition right here from the FMCSA, every dispatcher is required to have a freight broker bond. So what does that mean? Is there going to be any enforcement? Probably not. Why? Because they got bigger fish to fry. We're going to send out ELDs. We're going to do all that same stuff. We're going to ruin hours of service and just ruin trucking in general. So they don't care about people that are illegally being brokers. You know, unfortunately, they're working to slowly destroy transportation as a whole. So why worry about one segment of the industry? I don't know. Maybe Laz knows, if he wants to call in. Maybe he knows a couple of people that have been, you know, fined by the FMCSA for strictly dispatching. There's enough people that have been fined for illegally brokering or have gone to jail for it. That's fine. Technically, this is illegally brokering, but I don't know if anyone's actually gone just for doing it. If they're doing it fine and doing it above board, I don't think there's been any penalties for it. But the problem is it's illegal. It's illegal. You know what I mean? No matter how you look at it, it's illegal, and there's no protection for anybody that uses it. So if a dispatcher goes out and screws up and books an oversized load and you get there and you get all, or, and you just load it, or something happens to the load, it's all on you. It's not on them. Aaron Moneypenny on Facebook said, are there any big ones that are worth a shit to do to, I don't know what the hell you're saying there. Are there any big ones that are worth a shit to do a fleet? I don't know what you mean. You mean to dispatch a fleet? I have no idea. But yeah, that's what happens. Laz is right, because dispatchers disappear. Look at all the big dispatchers, myself included. The rates took a dive. I couldn't charge what I was charging before. Not because the carriers wouldn't pay it. They would. Rates were crap, so they were switching to dispatchers like crazy. It's because I couldn't justify charging what I was charging people at that point, because there wasn't enough money in it. And if the rates were super low and I'm taking another 3% and then they're paying factoring, it's a big issue. Laz, I think he said he's got 7 trucks, but he's adding 5 or 6 more. I heard him on the Shaggy show yesterday. Cause yeah, even though the dude's got me blocked, I still see his videos. Anyway, Mo Bader. Well, Mo, do you have a brokerage authority? If you don't have a brokerage authority, you might as well disappear, because you're not legal. So, I mean, that's the fact of the matter. So it doesn't matter if you're there and you're always away, or you know, always present in there. If you don't have a brokerage authority, then you're not legit, and nobody should work for him. Aaron, reach out to Laz. He could help you. And he is a licensed freight broker. So look at that. He's saying he's willing to talk to you about helping you out. And you guys may work. Well, he does flatbed stuff. Laz does dry van stuff. But whatever. You guys work. Work together. All right. I got a call on hold. So let me pick this sucker up. Hey, what's up? You're on the air.
Hey, Steve. It's Nate. What's up, buddy?
What's up? Long time no smell ya.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I got to chime in as devil's advocate on this one because I don't have a pony in this horse in this race, but I could tell you that you can easily get around that stipulation that the FMC is requiring because you can be a bona fide agent for two different companies that are competing companies. Simply get a waiver. Lawyers get them all the time if they have clients that have competing interests. Let's say you have two clients in the same industry, like two auto dealers who fall in the same block, and the lawyer has to represent both of them. Again, not in a adversarial situation, but let's say they're in the same industry, they're close enough that they're in competition where the lawyer knows about both of their strategies and stuff like that. But you could get a waiver, so you could be service.
Yeah. For one, who's going to sign that waiver as a carrier? I certainly wouldn't as a carrier. And secondly, I'm basing this whole conversation off of the conversation that we had with the FMCSA. And based on their definition, if they are profiting off of the load, then they are required, and they are not the carrier directly, then they're required to have a broker bond. But yeah, your connection's pretty rough.
They're still an agent. They're still an agent.
They're not. They're not.
They're still an agent for the carrier.
Yeah, if they're only an agent for one carrier. When you work with multiple carriers, you're not working in the best interest of a particular carrier. It doesn't matter whether they sign a release from liability or whatever. It doesn't matter.
That best interest is not a FMCSA thing. The best interest falls on the carrier.
No, the best interest falls under the bona fide definition under the FMCSA. You can look it up. But the connection's really, really scratchy. So I'm going to drop this one. You could try to call back if you want.
All right. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. People could try to make the argument about it, but the fact of the matter is if you're dispatching multiple trucks and you do not have a brokerage bond, you are illegally brokering based on this definition from the FMCSA that I received today. Plain and simple. No one at this point will ever change my mind, and I'll answer the call that's on hold in a second. But the reason why, and I already knew this because I owned a big dispatch company. I allowed the carriers that were in that we dispatched for, because we had 104 carriers. The carriers that came in, they would stop by the office all the time. When they had their new safety audits, we had three that were all from the state of New York. So they actually came into our warehouse or our office, because I had other businesses. So I had a warehouse and all that too. They came into our warehouse and office and did their new entrance safety audit. So we had all the New Jersey State Police DOT officers that came and did their safety inspections, did their truck, went through their logs, because we kept all that anyway. I mean, I was a big dispatch company, so we did drug consortiums and all their driver compliance paperwork and all that stuff. Hell, we even trained their drivers and some of our trucks. We did a lot of stuff. Anyway, so we had all that paperwork. While those state police officers were there, I asked about the dispatching and whether they found it. They said it's hugging a fine line. They don't have any enforcement enforcement orders to go after dispatch services, but it was something that they were actively aware of and that they were looking for. And this is what, 3 or 4 years ago? It's gotten so much worse now, where there's a million dispatchers. Look at it, you know. And I don't fault anyone for going out and dispatching and doing it. The only thing I say is just do it right. Be above board. Dispatching is a good business, and it's a very helpful resource to owner ops. I'm not shitting on the job at all, because it's something that is needed in the industry for trucks that do not have the ability to go and do it themselves. Let me answer this call here. Hey, what's up? You're on the air.
Hey, Steve. This is Roman. This might be off the topic, but I know you consolidated freight, and let's say you're going from Houston to Illinois. You pick up a couple partials on the way. What's the easiest way to price out those partials?
Now, are you pricing it out from, well, see, it's different because I only did partials. So I didn't move a trailer until it was full or until I absolutely had to, but
Yeah, so you had a warehouse, but let's say, you know, you're going from Houston, you pick up one in Houston, you pick up two in Dallas, your trailer's full, and then you just deliver them in Illinois on Monday. Would you just take, like, the rate that's going, you know, the going rate for a full truckload plus add for the stops, and then, you know, divide the, you know, the space that those parcels would take?
No, not really. So the way I quote partials is, and this is going to be long, but I'll try to say it quick because it is off topic. So the way I quote partials is I take a full truckload rate. So whatever the lane, I've already talked a million times about how I generate my per mile rate. So I take that same rate, or say it's $1,200 or $1,000 just to be even, and say you have a 50 foot trailer. Let's just to round it down. Mm-hmm. So you take 1,000 divided by 50. It gives you your per foot of the trailer space rate. Mm-hmm. So then I say, okay, if I'm picking up a 15 foot partial, then I know based on the full truckload rate that as long as I'm covering, you know, the 1 foot, like if it's a 15 foot partial and say the foot long rate is $20, then I'm going to want a minimum of $300. These are numbers I'm throwing out my ass. Normally what I end up doing is I say, okay, bare minimum would be, and again, this is carrier costs, but bare minimum would be, you know, $300 is what I charge, but I'd actually probably add another 5 feet. Then I add the broker profit onto it. And oftentimes it's still much less than what other people can, but I know I can cover the load. So for example, if I have a 15 foot long partial and I know the average cost to get it moved is $450, I'm not going and saying $450 to a carrier. I'm trying to sell it for lower to make more money. You guys as carriers should be thinking like brokers. I mean, when you're quoting, your goal isn't to undercut other carriers. Your goal is to undercut the broker from the job. And this is coming from a broker, but that is the truth. You want to be able to undercut the broker rate because that keeps the carrier rate high. And therefore, eventually the carrier rate, you know, based on simple economics, the carrier rate should come up eventually. The rates are coming up anyway. They're coming up earlier than I thought. But that's how I do partials in a very, very quick way.
All right. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. And so, that's how I do partials. Other people do it all different ways. But Microlithic on YouTube said, when these dispatchers apply for authority, are they applying as a broker or as a carrier? They're not. Oh, so what? They're not applying as anything. But if they're doing it right, then they would apply for a broker and get a surety bond. So, and typically, and then we heard the excuse the other day when we were talking to that lady. She's like, well, I will never get any work. No broker is ever going to give me any work if they know I have a brokerage authority. Well, that's also true. So that's why you have, say, you have Joe Blow's Logistics with the brokerage authority, and then you have a DBA of Joe Blow's Dispatch Service. And it's a DBA of the logistics company. If anyone looks hard enough, they're going to find it. But it allows you to have the symbol, you know, and you just have a contract. That's what I did. When I had it, is I had a separate company that I owned that was the broker. And then I kept a, you know, a piece of paper that basically said I was an agent of my other company. And I didn't move any freight through the other company, but I had to keep my books and everything in order for it, which was easy. Nikolai Demov said, would and how a bond change the fact that a dispatcher can't work for carrier's best interest in the Atlanta scenario? No, it wouldn't. It would just mean that they're working legitimately, because then you don't have to be working for the carrier's best interest. Does that make sense? You don't have to at that point, because then you're working to make a profit. It's not necessarily good. Here's another definition too. I can't put it up on your screen, but under definitions, if you look up whatever it was, what was it? 49 CFR 371.2 under definitions, look up non-brokerage services. Non-brokerage services. Now, trucking service doesn't have it. There's not one for a definition of it's not under bona fide agents that say this. It's specifically under broker, which says non-brokerage service is all other services performed by a broker on behalf of a motor carrier, consignee, or consignor, like carrier packets, like booking loads. It literally has it in there saying that, okay, if you want to dispatch trucks, you have to be a licensed broker. I got a kick out of something I saw recently where the person said, I hate dispatchers and I hate dispatch services, and yet he trains dispatchers. I don't understand that, you know, but there's a lot of that going on recently. So a broker doesn't look out for the best interest of another broker. That's just not the way that, or of carriers. They never do. You know, even me, even though I'm a carrier centric broker, or I like to say that, and I try to be fair in my rates and be fair in detention and be fair in pay and all that stuff. I'm still trying to make money. If I don't make any money, it doesn't do me any good. But having a bond and to be honest, the bond only really protects payment. And a broker, even if a dispatch service has a broker bond, you're not going to be getting paid unless you're factoring or something like that. But you're not going to be getting paid from the broker. You're going to be getting paid from the shipper. It's just, it's the legality of doing it. Is there a reason for it other than the fact that it's a law and a regulation? Probably not. But it's a law and a regulation. So follow the law and regulations as much as we hate them, or change it. Because that whole argument about dispatchers, they're going to keep coming up, and it's going to keep coming up forever. And people in owner ops are going to hear about, you know, dispatch, the horror stories for dispatchers when they disappear and they leave the driver stranded, or they send them up to a crappy location that's paying pretty good just because they know they're going to get an extra, you know, say they book a $4,000 load for $1.70 a mile, and they send you up to Washington State when there's no outbound freight, but they don't care, because if they just made $400 in commission, you're going to get up there, they're going to check and see if there's anything else there. They're not going to see anything for you, and they're just going to realize, let me go work on the other truck and sit you up there. There's no, they don't have any interest. Now, does that interest change if they have an authority? No, but they're legal. So get your authority. If you're a dispatch service, get your bond. It's required. You're required to have a brokerage authority. But again, that's my opinion. Disclaimers. I could say allegedly, that's my opinion, whatever. I meant to say like fixed or something like that for that button, but I messed up. Laz on Facebook said, a dispatcher's only concern is the immediate money on a particular load without true regard to connecting loads. Now, that's absolutely true. And we'll probably, if more dispatchers are still watching this, which I doubt they are because they're probably all ticked off now that I'm telling all their secrets, but a lot of them will say there are good dispatchers out there. I'm not saying all dispatch services are bad, but when you hear about successful, and this all kind of stemmed from a conversation I had recently, not one on social media, one in person, but bonded dispatcher. Cool. My dispatch service can now take a load intended for my truck. No, because you can't, because it doesn't work. I see where you're trying to go, but I'm not going to feed into that kind of level of crap, because the dispatch service isn't booking the load. They are not getting paid from the broker. They are acting as the middleman between. So because of the definition in the regulations that it says that anyone that's profiting and is not the carrier, then they are a freight broker. So they have to have a bond. You can go through all the hypotheticals like that if you want, but it doesn't do you any good, because it doesn't meet the talking point that I'm talking about, or the regulations in the industry. I mean, that's what it is. Everybody's pissed off at the industry. So maybe you just found the one thing for you to be pissed off for, but dispatchers aren't going out. And if dispatchers are currently doing it, they're co-brokering loads. And I guarantee the broker that's sending them the load doesn't know that. I can almost guarantee that. I can't guarantee that. But you should never be getting paid from a dispatch service. You should be paying a dispatch service. But with that said, I'm going to play a little commercial, get some water, and then we'll open back up the lines. I'm simply
what's a singing goat have to do with factoring? Nothing. OTR Capital. Better than the rest.
All right. So, yeah. And plus, like Laz said, Nate, to your question, that would be unethical. So, And you know what the problem is that there are dispatchers. So I'm going to read, I'll post your comment up right here, because I think this is important. So Nate said, bonded dispatch service is cool. So now my dispatch service could take a load intended for my truck, chop off $500 off the top, and then book it for me and bill me an extra 10%. Now, I understand what you're trying to do here, just trying to bait the conversation a little bit, but that's fine. But I get it. The problem is there are people that are doing this exact thing right now. There are these pyramid scheme type of programs that people are selling, and it's just wrong. It's just wrong, in my opinion. But okay, so wait, we're on the same wavelength, Nate. Now I know what you're talking about. All right, yeah. Yeah, it's those pyramid schemes. That's what they are. There's people out there that do them, and they're highly regarded in the industry, but that's all they are. They're the pyramid channel marketing schemes. But all right, so that's that show, or that's that segment of the show. I don't really know what else I'm going to talk about. The phone lines are active if anyone wants to call in. 914-803-4008. You can call in about anything that you want. And we can talk about stuff. So I'm going to do something right here real quick. So this is still up, but I'm going to change this. Whoops, that's not the right one. This. Nope, that's not it either. Bear with me 1 second. Well, I don't think it's going to show up. Never mind. I wanted to show you guys. If you go to chartable.com and look up Freight Broker Live, what the, my wife likes your commercial. The commercial's funny. OTR loves that commercial. They send it out to all 13,000 members of their email list. It's funny. You know who really likes the commercial too? Is my 9-year-old. He tries to be so cool because he doesn't understand why you guys watch my videos. He's like, mind's blown. He's like, you're just sitting talking about the industry. He's like, when I watch people on YouTube, they're like playing a video game or they're doing something that's interesting. He's like, you have 60 people that watch you make a video where you're talking about logistics and trucking. He doesn't get it, but he likes a commercial because he's always like, why do you zoom in on the goat's butt? I'm like, I don't know. It's funny. But Trucker Josh Ruda on YouTube said, what do I know about the accuracy of the 15-day average on DAT? I was talking to a broker at TQL about it. He didn't believe in it, but he used it before as a starting point of negotiation. Yeah. But here's the thing. When you go off the 15-day average, you're basing it off of what the average was from 15 days prior. Obviously, that's what a 15-day average is. So the to me, it's kind of accurate. I've seen it where DAT is on the lower end and truck stop is higher. I've used the predictive rating tools. Well, the only one that's out right now, I mean, as much as I don't even want to mention that company, it's still an awesome tool. You know, it's a very cool tool. It's very accurate. It's very expensive. So, you know, there's another one. DAT's going to come out probably in the middle of quarter two, and then I'm going to be repping that one super hard because hopefully it's cheaper and more affordable. But I think that the DAT rates, and this is going to piss people off too, the DAT rates are sellable rates. And I've never had a load, well, only once probably, where I quote a load on the carrier pay on the DAT broker carrier rate, and I've not gotten it covered for pretty close to that rate. Typically, I get it covered for that rate or just a little bit more. But usually, I can use that rate as a good foundation. Now, and I always check, too. So I check the DAT rate, and then I check truck stop, and I use previous lane data and all that stuff in my head to try to make sure that I'm getting the most accurate rate I can. You know, where they all source your data, they source it from previous lane data. They source it from all the TMS systems and all the broker carrier contract or broker carrier partnerships that they have. So they're getting real data. But when you look at some of these predictive rating or you look at some of these rate forecasting tools that are out there, they're using one-sided mega fleet data. They're not pulling in what you are, Gary Miller, I don't know if you're a trucker or what, but they're not pulling in what you are making per load. They're pulling in what the big guys are making per load. They're inflating that rate a little bit to try to make it more universal, but it's still a skewed rate because they don't have the insights of what's being booked. Now, when you look at what DAT's going to be offering whenever they do it, it's going to be, I think it's going to be more accurate because they're going to work with the TMS providers and all the people they have to try to build out a software that's accurate. They're testing it with Knight Swift right now. Because I talk to DAT almost every day now through advertising and stuff like that. you know, I will know when they're coming out with it, when they release it, what their pricing are. I've talked to them and trying to impress to them how important it is to keep the predictive rating tool or the forecasting, whatever they want to call it, to keep those costs down, to not charge $6,000 a year or whatever some of the other companies are, because that way it keeps it affordable. So you guys, the people that don't necessarily have an extra $600 a month, can actually go out and utilize the software that should help you do well and help you grow your company. So that was a really long answer to, I think it's accurate. You ask a broker if they think it's accurate, they're going to say no, because they're going to try to sell the load lower. All those big brokers that you guys are mentioning, and I have no problem with TQL. Like I said, I used to work with them. I preferred to work with them when I had my trucks because they had a lot of freight and they were always good. But their job is not to be honest. Their job is to sell loads and to make a profit on a load. So if you say, you know, if you pull up a lane and it says DAT's paying $1.70 a mile, and you call, you know, a big broker, and the big broker's like, well, DAT's not accurate. They know they're pulling the rate the same exact way. Almost all those systems, they do everything I say I do. You put in, at, like when we quote as brokers, depending on what your system is, when you quote, it will populate a rate and it pulls the rate in from DAT, pulls the rate in from Truckstop, pulls the rate in from all the other information that it has internally in terms of lanes and what you've previously paid and all that. And then it gives you those rates, usually all separate. So whoever you're dealing with, I guarantee he sees the same number. Now, here's a weird thing. I've also seen different numbers on different computers for the same exact lane pulled the same exact time. Don't know how that works. It must be a, you know, truly fluctuating rate. But I've also seen that where, you know, I pull a rate and I say, okay, I know it pays $1.82. And then, you know, someone else pulls it and says it's paying $1.96 or something like that, you know. But here's a comment on YouTube. Liliana Rivera said, brokers hate when I bring up the DAT average when I negotiate. Some don't like that the fact that dispatch that don't. And some don't like the fact that you dispatch several carriers. Right, because you shouldn't, unless you're a broker. And see, and here's all the reality. Let's just pretend you have a broker bond and you're all legit. Yeah, don't tell anybody that you're dispatching multiple carriers. You just don't. Because I could say as a broker too, I'd be tentative to give because especially knowing the dispatch side, there's no incentive for you to do a good job. There isn't. There's just no incentive for you to do it, you know, and as much as it sucks, besides your own personal values, there's no incentive for a dispatcher to do anything above and beyond getting paid. And a broker has to maintain the relationship. A dispatcher, it doesn't matter, because I mean, I could go post an ad right now in my group and I guarantee I could be dispatching 6 trucks tomorrow and making money. But it, you know what I mean? Because that's, everyone needs it. There's so many new owner ops and so many people out there that are suffering with the low rates that they just think everybody can make more money. And especially if you're on a percentage and you're paid afterwards, you know, it is what it is. Wendell Akins on YouTube said, can I talk a little bit more about moving military loads and intermodal loads as a broker? No, because I don't do much military. Actually, I don't do any military. Very rarely. I've done a couple of, like, specialized government bid jobs, not military, but like actual getting on, you know, gov, whatever it is, .gov, FBO.gov, and actually bidding on stuff, or on the state level. The one that I moved in DC was on the state level for Maryland, is where that was their contract, because they were getting the train chassis thing. And intermodal loads, it's going to take too long. I don't really feel like talking about intermodal loads. Are a pain in the ass to do all the drayage and you know, the ramp stuff. It's a pain in the ass. I was supposed to have a meeting at 12:00 today. Luckily they canceled. But they have a big project that they want me to bid, where it's, they want me to handle everything outside of their international stuff. So they have like 100 units, 100 truckloads coming in. So they want me to have the ports dragged, or the containers dragged from the port, transloaded, line hauled across the United States. And I'm sitting there going, well, I don't want to lose the money, but at the same time, I don't really have the time to do all this stuff. So it's kind of crazy. Tim, who's the big boss behind Ascend, says, Ascend will soon be adding to our popular free InstaRate feature to include all real-time rates from real millions of yeah, so he's everyone's coming out with these the predictive rates or real-time rates, because it's kind of, I mean, you would think everyone should have it already, because you could base it off of, it's not really that hard to predict what the rates are going to be. If you know what fuel's going to be the next day or the next couple of days, and you know what you paid previously, that's why factoring companies should be able to have that data like crazy, because they think about a big factoring company like OTR or any of the other ones. You know, I'm not going to even mention any of them because I'm only going to mention OTR. Why? Hat's all messed up. Why am I going to mention OTR? Because they're one of the best facts. And I actually hate trucker caps like that, so I'm not going to wear. I don't like how they feel in my head. It's a nice hat. But see, where's the camera? Yeah, OTR Capital. Best factoring company. The goat of factoring. Anyway, but if you think about it, factoring companies have all that data. Factoring companies have, you know, the rates for the up to that day for loads that we're delivering that day. So, and from what I understand is that a lot of these companies that are rating or utilizing this stuff, that's why, like, software companies, if they're able to use that data to provide accurate rates, because they see what the lane rates on loads that are actually covered in the data. So as long as they're able to utilize that data, it would be cool. Tim said, great show, by the way. He's glad he listened. I'm glad you listened too. I'm glad that the other thing is working out too. I'm going to have a new sponsor here in the future for 6 months. No, I don't know about that. But Tim said, by the way, the most accurate mileage is rates from loads actually running today and ones booked tomorrow. Other rates sources are too old. I agree. You know, that's why you can use the DAT rate as a baseline, but who knows what has changed in the past 15 days? You know what I mean? Look at rates from, you know, 2 days ago to what they are now. You know, they go up, they go down, they go everything. Yeah, Tim. Tim on YouTube. So you'll see Ascend's ads all over my site. I'm happy for him. You guys are growing. It's very good. I'm glad I could help out in that regard. Anyway. Phone line is active, 914-803-4008. I'll take one more phone call. Otherwise, I'm going to make my, it's going to be so bad, but it's a jab. So if you guys didn't know, my podcast now is the top rated freight podcast. Oh God, I got to see if I could try to get this screen. So bear with me 1 second, because no one's going to believe it if I don't post it. So hold on, just bear with me while I try to figure this out. Let me switch to studio, and where's the news? Oh, now it's there. Look at that. All right. So here, check this out. This is the top podcast in business news, according to iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Now, here's the cool thing. Let me scroll down. Well, let me scroll down here. Oh, look at that. Number 20. Look at that. Number 20. My podcast is 20th. I am the highest ranking freight podcast right now. And I know people hate it. I'm just going to leave this up right now. Because look at that. Number 20. I'm up 63 spots from yesterday. But I know a lot of people are like, oh, God, this chart doesn't matter. I heard that somewhere else. They said this chart doesn't matter when they actually use the same chart like 2 days prior to that. But whatever. First, the highest ranking freight podcast yet again, second time this week. This chart is funny because like one day, I think on Saturday or Sunday, I was ranked 38th and then I shot down. Oh, I didn't see it. Well, don't hang up. It's on a different screen. Call again, Laz. But yeah, highest ranked freight podcast out of all of them. I bet I even rank higher than Fox News and definitely CNN. and a lot of these other ones, but definitely the highest ranked freight podcast. Why? Because I'm real. I'm original. I keep it fresh. I tell the truth. I don't manipulate things. And I actually work in the industry every day. So contrary to what some other people do. But yeah, go ahead and call in again, Laz, if you want. Otherwise, I'm going to put that screen up and make this song called the best freight podcast in the world live on the air as I end my video. It's going to be funny. That's why I put that high-pitched voice there. But I'll give it a few more minutes. But yeah, so I've got so much stuff going on. You know, I almost didn't make this show. I've recorded because I'm doing my logistics academy, whatever, / training things. So that was supposed to meet tonight. I forgot that tomorrow is Valentine's Day, so I have to write articles and crap tonight because I'm not going to be able to tomorrow. Here's a caller, so let me take this call. Hey, what's up? You're on the air. She's, oh, I should have put their number out on the air. People are annoying. Anyway, but yeah, you're such an ass. I don't know who that was, but now I got to mute that all out when I do my podcast. It just made a lot more work for me. So I don't know. I'll scroll down and show you guys where everyone ranks just so you see. So you got Marketplaces number one. I don't even know what this podcast is, but then you got Wall Street. You've got Whiskey Politics, Bloomberg Law. Then you got me, this guy right here, Freightbrook Alive, best freight podcast in the world. And then let me keep going down. Oh, and then number 29, that's another freight podcast. I won't even say who it is. And I don't know. But here's another one down at 44. Here's another one down at 49. They're all the same. Here's another one down at 55. But my one podcast so far is way up here. It's so hard because I got to scroll. It makes my finger tired scrolling all the way to the top. But yeah, number 20, top freight podcast in the world. All right, guys, thank you for tuning in. And I'm going to sing this song on my way out, if I could find the music. Hold on, it's funny. Oh, crap. I guess I'll have to leave.